Cinema. Mimarico Cinema is a movie club. We started in September of 2018. What it is we host parties, theme parties, and show, I wrote down, weird, disturbing, and terrible movies for weird, disturbing, and terrible people who love them. So that pretty much sums up what we've got going on. Just a quick inspiration background on the concept of Maui Coon Cinema is there's a program, I guess it's an event called Cinespia in Los Angeles, where they pretty much host movies outdoors at the Hollywood Cemetery. So they have a big production where they have DJs, there's a picnic, and there is a themed photo booth area, which is super fun. So I was really inspired by it. My friend Heather O'Shaughnessy, who's an artist, was scouting out locations and cemeteries for us to try to recreate that here, but we didn't have any luck. But we did have the next best thing, which is Maui Comics and Collectibles, and they let us host our first events there, which is really fun. Our first movie that we showed was Nothing But Trouble with Dan Aykroyd, and we had a theme potluck, and we recreated a scene with Bobo in the junkyard. I had some photos I was going to show you guys, but we can't get our projector working right now. So two of my guests up here are also curators of films. We have a private Facebook feed where we kind of keep tally and ideas of movies we want to show. So this is my friend Isaac.
Hello.
He has a show on YouTube called Isaac's Haunted Beard. And this is Tony.
Hi, how are you?
You can catch Tony on Akaku. It was 88.5.
The Voice of Maui, yes. I got the local show over there at 1 p.m. every Monday through Thursday.
So I invited these guys up here to talk with me because they are infinite knowledge of obscure film and terrible cinema. So we're pretty much going to share with you guys 5 movies each that we hope to host as theme parties. So
it's like a sneak preview.
Yes. And if you guys are interested, we can talk about it in the end, how you guys can hook up with us to join the club. So, Isaac, you're going to go first and
talk
about
this. I get to go first.
Yeah.
I'd like to, before I start, give a shout-out to Maui Comics and Collectibles. And I'd like to give a shout-out to the Nerdwatch podcast. They both do great things.
Sharkhead.
All right, what's the first movie I'm doing?
Okay, so the first movie we're going to talk about is your pick of Ghoulies 3.
Oh,
Ghoulies
my
Go
God.
To College.
Ghoulies 3. This is garbage. You know, when I chose Ghoulies 3, I thought that would be a fun thing to talk about. And just for fun, I watched it again last night, and it's even worse than I remember it.
Yes, this is a very horrible movie.
Well, after the success of Gremlins in 1984, there was a series of copycat horror comedies featuring creatures such as Critters, Munchies, Hobgoblins, and yes, the Ghoulies. In Ghoulies 1, the setting is in a spooky mansion. In Ghoulies 2, they invade a carnival. And in 3, they cause mayhem at a college.
They go to college.
In this one, for the first time, they speak, so the jokes are extra dumb. And the plot is that there's a prank war going on between two fraternities, and a teacher obsessed with the occult summons the Ghoulies from a demonic toilet bowl. Yes, that's why I like stuff like this, because of things like demonic toilet bowls. To do away with these pesky kids, this movie sucks, and I love it because of that reason.
That's awesome.
It's a classic movie. Yeah, I love it.
I don't think I've ever watched Ghoulies 3
yet.
I don't even think I finished college, so I wonder if that's synonymous.
If the Ghoulies can get into college, everybody can get into college.
If the Ghoulies can go. All right, so Tony, tell us about your pick of Mac and Me.
Oh my God, okay, Mac and Me. You gotta talk about this movie like, you know, there was several movies that came out in the 80s right after E.T. the Extraterrestrial, and they all were bad. There was one with a puppet in a closet, and then there was Munchies and all this different kind of stuff. But when Mac and Me came out, I just as a young kid, I couldn't even understand what was going on. Okay? For one thing, you got a family that communicate like this. I can't whistle. Okay, it's like, that's how they communicate. And then the kid gets, you know, he gets lost in the wilderness. He finds a family like, you know, usual. Instead of Reese's Pieces, we get Skittles and Coca-Cola. What's going on here? Fix that up, okay. But they got this kid giving him Coca-Cola. The alien is loving it. And they go on an adventure together.
Was it like the, was it a plug of the like name brand Coca-Cola? Were they sponsoring the movie?
They did. And even McDonald's sponsored this movie as well. Because there is a breakdancing hip-hop number at a McDonald's kids' party. Ronald McDonald is over there. And the alien is in disguise as a teddy bear. A teddy bear. Okay, after all that happens, you got the, you know, your basic government chasing after the kids, you know, oh, illegal alien. This is way before Trump. And then they find the family, they're all dehydrated. What do they get the family? What's so good? What's the best thing for dehydration when they're like, you know, trapped in the desert for long periods of time? Coca-Cola.
All right.
Yes. Coca-Cola. And then the family goes on a, like, you know, like a chaos spree. They're in a supermarket. They're trying to understand things, you know. And then, like E.T., but instead of the finger, the ouch, uh-huh. Oh, we get the family whistling over the kid. Okay.
That sounds sweet.
And then it ends. It ends with the family, just like
spoiler.
Short Circuit 2. No, I gotta get the spoiler. This is a horrible movie. Okay. It ends with the family being integrated into American society.
Oh my gosh! I remember that.
Wow, immigration.
They get their
it
citizenship.
It worked back then for the aliens. You know.
That's.
It worked for Johnny Five too in Short Circuit 2. So.
That's right.
Mystery Science Theater 3000 riffed on it.
They did it in the Gauntlet about one season ago, yeah.
Currently available on Netflix.
That's
Mac and Me in a nutshell.
Yay! I feel like that's got to be a go-to for that movie.
Wait, McDonald's? As in Big Mac and Me?
No!
Yes, Big Mac and Me. There you go. The best.
Okay, so my pick for a movie that I absolutely want to see a show is I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. So this was the directorial debut of Keenan Ivory Wayans. It was a
Cramps.
1988 action comedy parody on 1970s blaxploitation. It is one of my favorite movies of all time. In fact, I like started dating my husband because he had that movie in his movie collection. I just thought it was the sexiest thing ever. It is definitely my top 10 for sure. So starring Keenan Ivory Wayans, who also wrote the movie and starred in it. It has so many actors in it. I don't know, have you guys seen that movie before? It's totally star-packed. There is Jim Brown, Isaac Hayes, Antonio Vargas, Bernie Casey, Chris Rock.
All blaxploitation.
David Alan Greer is one of my favorite characters in there. Janet Dubois. It is just pure like hysterical silliness through the whole movie.
Pre-scary movie, by the way. Pre-scary movie.
It is actually, yeah. I didn't realize that he directed that movie as well, which is like, one of like the highest grossing like scary comedy movies. So this was 2 years before In Living Color came out. And one of the scenes that I can think of that like really stuck with me, actually two of them. One of them featuring, Anne-Marie Johnson, where she literally takes everything off. I'm not sure you've seen it. She starts undressing. She takes out her contacts. She takes off her wig. Then she takes off her leg.
She just keeps going.
She just keeps going with it. It's the best. The other scene with the...
I would have still hit it.
I'm sure you would.
Say what?
She was amazing. That was that character's name was Cherry. She had that vinyl red tight dress on. It really stuck with me. It has like some gross out scenes, and just majority of it's just like pure camp and silliness. I again absolutely love that movie. I'm not sure exactly what scene I would want to recreate for the photo booth, but I haven't had to give it some thought. But definitely maybe something where we wear too many gold chains and we can all OG on gold chains over gold.
And it's got platform shoes with goldfish in it.
Oh, yep. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And he wins the title of Pimp of the Year.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm bouncing back and forth. I'm really excited about this movie. So that would be one of my first picks for another showing. Isaac, we'll jam to you. If you want to tell us about Never Too Young to Die.
Do I?
Ooh. Oh.
Okay. Never Too Young to Die.
Uncle Jesse.
Is an action film from 1986 starring Uncle Jesse himself, John Stamos.
All right.
As Lance Stargrove. He's a gymnast. Are you singing the song?
I'm singing Kokomo.
My man knows it. A gymnast. He's a gymnast who's avenging the death of his secret agent father, and he's being helped by another secret agent who's also his love interest, played by Vanity.
Oh, Vanity!
Vanity's entire filmography would qualify for Corinne's cinema screenings, by the way. I mean that as a total compliment. Together, they go on a mission to stop a terrorist who is an evil bisexual killer hermaphrodite named Velvet Von Ragnar, played by Gene Simmons of Kiss.
Gene Simmons, man.
He's got a long, sharp pinky nail that he stabs people with.
And that's why I call my pinky nail.
Is played by Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger himself.
Yes. Wow.
When I was a kid and I saw this, Velvet Von Ragnar fascinated me. He sings, he performs. These songs got stuck in my head for 30 years, and I saw it again as an adult, and it's just as cheesy as I remember it.
Wow.
Never Too Young to Die.
I love it. That sounds
classic.
So amazing.
Classic.
I haven't seen that movie before, but you sold. I'm totally sold.
I would watch that movie.
We'll watch it together one day.
I would watch that. I would see it as a double feature on USA Up All Night with Cyclone.
Cyclone.
The one with the bike. This bike that was like loaded.
Yes, I have seen that.
Yes.
Yes. I forgot the title. Like
classic, everybody.
So don't mind us. We're just kind of...
Bad horror movies.
We get excited.
Bad action movies, too.
Okay, Tony, tell us about Killer Workout.
Killer Workout. Okay, now, for all the men out there, if you like horror movies, there's with a lot of beautiful women working out in 80s spandex.
Spandex. I like that.
Ooh, tell me more.
The 80s spandex class, right? You know, classic, right? Okay, so the whole idea of the movie is you got one woman trying to run a workout studio where there's like jazz aerobics like every hour on the hour. They're just in there going, ooh, like, you know, everything. Butts are in the air, you know. You got the 80s.
80s butts.
Yeah, you know, the bustiness. Yeah, this is a USA Up All Night, this classic too for USA Up All Night back in the day with Ron the Sheer.
And Gilbert Gottfried.
And Gilbert Gottfried on Saturday Night. But this movie is just, I almost thought that they were dubbed or some way because it's just dead acting. The whole movie is just dead acting the whole way through. Even when there's sex scenes, I don't know where they're going with this, you know? And there's like dream sequences where people are, and then the killer throughout the whole movie is using a giant clothespin, the pin, the one with the, you know, the kind that punk rockers put in their ears.
Sure, like a diaper pin?
Giant one.
Oh, jeez.
That's her murder weapon.
So she punctures people to death.
And spoiler alert, I'm gonna spoil the movie for you guys.
Spoiler alert.
It sounds like it's already ruined, so.
It is available on YouTube. You just type in Killer Workout.
That's how I watched it, actually.
Movie. But,
What's good about the YouTube thing is the guy who put it up there got it from his VHS tape, so there's moments during the YouTube thing where the tracking gets fixed.
Yeah,
which I thought was charming.
Right? It's classic. I love that stuff. But the ending of the movie, you come to find out.
Spoiler.
It was the manager the whole time.
Oh.
She was in a bad accident. Most of her body is, you know, at least 80% burned from an accident. And she hates seeing all of these beautiful women working out in her studio. So she kills them one by one.
With a diaper pin.
With a diaper pin. A giant diaper pin.
So weird. Okay, so I'm going to tell you about... Don't watch it, but watch it with us, please. My pick that I would like to do actually next for Korean Cinema is a Brian Yuzna movie called Society.
Oh my God.
Oh, I love this movie so much. So it's his directorial debut. He went on to produce The Reanimator, which is an amazing movie. So awesome. But it is a super bizarro body horror movie. One of my favorite things about this movie is the time and the place of when it's set. It's set in the 80s, late 80s, in Southern California, like Malibu area. And it's total like upper crust Malibu culture, down from like the Zinca fluorescent nose sunblock that they use, and like the Jeeps. I mean, their bikinis, like everything is just so quintessential.
They all seem shiny. Yeah.
Yes, it's awesome. So the premise of the movie is there's this really privileged boy who grows up in a wealthy upper class society or family, and he feels he just doesn't belong to his family. He starts hallucinating, and he thinks he might be going out of his mind, but he's pretty convinced that it's not him who's losing like the touch of reality. It's actually society around him. So there's a lot of like weird things. Like that's a second glance. He'll see someone like twisted up in a weird position. He feels like there's a conspiracy with his family plotting against him. And it turns out that he's actually correct. There's some really intense scenes of it that actually like very revolting and kind of haunting. There's this thing called the shunting that I can't really talk about here because there's child presence.
Gross as it sounds.
So one of the posters that I saw for the movie says, "It's not what you think it is. It's a matter of good breeding, really," which is great. The costume's great. I really want to do this movie, and one of the things I want to have for our potluck is champagne flutes filled with pink Jell-O. Laffy Taffy would be a great thing to bring to this. There's a lot of themed foods I feel we could have that would really make us a part of the movie experience.
I like to think, this towards the end of the movie, it's basically a bubblegum orgy.
It is. Yeah, it is just...
It's a family-friendly place. You can't be talking about that stuff.
Okay, let's just say it's a giant mass, like if the Blob were a bunch of rich people.
There you go. And they feast on the poor. So it's kind of reversed as opposed to eat the rich. Just think of it, the rich are eating us is kind of...
Also, if you have Shudder, it's available on Joe Bob Briggs' Last Drive-In. Which is a great way to see it, too, because he adds additional information that's just super fun.
Dude, Joe Bob, if you guys haven't had a chance to watch Joe Bob, he's kind of like an honorary member of my family.
Monster Vision.
He's in our living room at least once a week. We're watching him. Actually, you could even watch Society on Amazon Prime. I'm pretty sure it's available with that. Definitely check it out. If you can't, maybe you can come and watch it with us, because I want to do that someday. We go, Mr. Isaac. We're going to talk about Troll 2.
Troll 2, a perfect, imperfect film. I watched this again last night. Man, this
Neil Ball.
Beautiful. Troll 2 was a movie with no trolls in it, by the way. There's goblins.
Neil Ball.
This in-name-only sequel is about a family that goes on vacation in a little town called Nilbog.
Nilbog.
Nilbog is goblin, spelled backwards.
Excellent.
As it turns out, the residents of Nilbog are goblins in disguise who want to eat the family. The hero of the family is the young son who's getting guidance from the ghost of his grandpa. Here's the thing, okay? This is what makes the movie so special. There's an Italian, this is real life, this is not the movie, in real life, an Italian filmmaker from Italy comes to America with his all-Italian film crew. They barely speak English. They come to a small town to make a movie. They put out a casting call for the townsfolk, like, hey, you want to be in a movie? They all show up. They think they're going to be extras. They're ready to do the movie. And they're like, what do we do? Where do we stand? They're like, no, you're the actors in the movie. So all these amateur actors are the actors in the film. And they suck. And it's pretty clear throughout the entire movie. They're awful. So they're taking direction from people who barely speak English in a monster movie, and the results are hilarious. There's a documentary called Best Worst Movie that's all about this film, and it's
love the documentary.
Highly recommended. So good. So as far as imperfect movies are concerned, this one's perfect. Troll 2 is a garbage masterpiece.
Yeah.
It's essential.
That's awesome.
Oh my God. The first time I saw that movie, I remember the scene where everybody is having, you know, they brought a nice feast for the family.
Okay, yes.
Wait, for the record, doesn't it look like all the stuff that the people give for the feast is like desserts, like cakes and cupcakes? And,
yeah.
And it all looks kind of delicious.
With nice green frosting on it.
That's right. Oh my gosh. That's a good memory.
The most famous line from the film is something that we can't say, can we?
Probably not.
You can't.
They're eating her?
You can't
miss
some hospitality.
And then they're going to eat me. Oh, my God.
That's a good one, too. Troll 2, ladies and gentlemen.
Troll 2. All right, Tony, tell us about Manos, the Hands of Fate.
Oh, my God. Manos, another Mystery Science Theater 3000 classic. This movie was made on a dare. A dare. They were playing, the director and his friends were playing cards or something like that, and they said, I dare you to make a movie for so-and-so amount of money. And then they made it and released it, and the whole movie is his family on vacation in the middle of BF nowhere. I censored myself. So if you know what BF means, yeah.
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot nowhere. It's in the middle of Bigfoot nowhere, okay? And the family, they like, you know, where's the gas station? Where's the gas station? They find a small house in the middle of nowhere with a weird guy. I forget the name. I forget this guy's name, but for the whole movie.
Torgo.
Huh?
I think it's Torgo.
Torgo. Torgo. Torgo. Okay. The whole movie. This is him.
That's accurate.
This is Torgo when he wants to be romantic.
Also accurate.
Right? Okay, and then you get into this whole cult thing, and this guy comes out with a giant robe with a handprint in red on it.
Two hands.
And they're starting to summon some god or something. The whole time the family is like, what?
So are the hands like big, or they're just hands? They're just regular hands.
The hands, just hands.
They're just
it's
hands
like a
of fate.
Yeah. And it's like red hands that go all
the way down the road. Yes. Okay.
I almost thought it was kind of satanic, but it's basically a guy that got several friends together and made a movie. You know, Night of the Living Dead is better. I'd rather watch Night of the Living Dead than Manos, the Hands of Fate ever
again. Unless
it's
watching with us. Make
Wait,
it watch
there's it,
it
though. If you don't want to sit down, I will riff track that movie like it's never been riff tracked before. That's how bad I want people to come over to Mark Green Cinema and check this out. We have to have a Manos night.
I love it.
There's a traveling puppet show version of that movie.
What?
That's called, instead of Manos the Hands of Fate, it's called Manos the Hands of Felt. This is true, I'm not making it up.
Oh my God, okay. Yeah, no, there, for some weird reason too, there's a cult following.
Yeah.
It has a cult following. I'm like, why?
There's
like sequels.
Does.
I haven't seen the sequels. I heard they're equally as bad. But that is Manos, the Hands of Fate, everybody.
All right. So one of my choices actually is a movie that I haven't watched since I first watched it when I was a young girl. I will describe it as basically the movie that you would throw your popcorn at, which I've always wanted to do. I just never wanted to be the rude person that litters the movie theater. So it's been described as a psychotic, surreal journey into the realm of the profoundly grotesque, and that it, quote, invents a new genre, which is kiddie nihilism and callow theater of disgust. This movie is The Garbage Pail Kids, the movie. Yeah,
yes.
Because it is called the worst movie ever made. And it's probably because we had such high expectations for a Garbage Pail movie. I know I did. I remember hearing about it as a young girl and getting so excited to watch it and then being just completely confused through pretty much all of it. The animatronics in it are completely terrible. They pretty much just took really short folks and put these giant, gross, poorly like moving heads on them.
It wasn't Jim Henson, I know that.
It was definitely not Jim Henson. Someone was saying that the people, like, pretty much said everyone involved in the movie, starting from the Coke-filled producers to the gaffer's apprentice, will be burning in hell for eternity for making this film. It's just a really bad movie. But I guess the reason why I want to watch it again is one, morbid curiosity. I'm kind of a slave to nostalgia, so I want to see it again, and I don't know, try to take back my feelings about the Garbage Pail Kids. Because did you collect any of the cards?
I did as a kid, yeah, I did.
I did, I loved them.
I only like the trading cards.
Yeah, all of them, I'm sure nerds here definitely have like
it's
all of them.
It's weird that the Garbage Pail Kids have kind of outlived the thing they're parodying, the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Right. Oh my gosh, yeah. I just realized the star of this movie, Mackenzie Austin, is also the star of Mac and Me.
Yep.
So he's in both of our choices. I wonder if he knows that he's so popular with cult film enthusiasts. Let's see, would I have anything else to say about it besides that? Everyone's going to hate me for selecting this movie when we do get to watch it, but I'm standing by my choice.
These are movies that really test your patience.
Right. Very much so.
I want it to be good. If I watch it enough times, maybe it will be good. Probably not.
And it's one long-running fart joke, too.
It kind of is.
I love that.
It's really gross. I feel like an amazing parent for exposing it to my son.
It's fart joke cinema.
All right, Isaac, tell us about Hal Comes to Frog Town.
Okay.
Oh.
Hal, okay,
yes,
first
sir.
Of all, how dope is that title? Hell Comes to Frog Town.
Sold! Love it.
Hell Comes to Frog Town is a post-apocalyptic science fiction film from 1988 starring WWE Hall of Famer, pro wrestling legend, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
As Sam Hell. One of the last fertile men to exist due to atomic fallout. His mission is to rescue a bunch of kidnapped women from mutant frog people. And then, of course, get to work repopulating the planet.
It's like every man's dream, but I can think of a couple.
Everyone's dreams to get pregnant by Roddy Piper?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is definitely campy on purpose, and it works because of Piper's charisma and the charm of giant frog people. I enjoy people in rubber suits, and it contains the classic line, as he's holding two guns, eat lead, froggies.
Right? Oh, my God.
Hell
I love
comes
that part.
To another USA Up All Night staple.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
That's how I first saw it.
Among other horrible ones, you know, like The Last World Warriors and... I forget the name.
About post-apocalyptic garbage cinema?
About Rollerblade?
Oh, Prayer
Girls,
the...
Roller Girls... The apocalypse.
So I think Prayer for the Roller Boys. There's Solar
what
Babies.
About the, the women?
I love
Bronx
Solar
Warriors.
Babies, by the way. Solar Babies.
Amazon,
everybody,
the
Solar Babies.
The Women of Avocado Jungle?
Oh, Cannibal Women of the Avocado Jungle of
Death.
Yes,
Cannibal
Bill
Women.
Maher.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it has...
I have the DVD.
What is that actress's name? I'm drawing a blank.
Shannon Tweed. And Adrienne Barbeau.
Adrienne Barbeau. She is amazing. She is such an amazing
I adore
actress. I love her so much. I'm going to marry her one day. Sorry, hubby. Tony, tell me about Diamond Ninja Force.
Oh my God,
okay. He's standing.
Oh, Diamond Ninja Force. Seriously, everybody, okay. Diamond Ninja Force. This movie makes no sense at all. There's two parts of it. There's one part with a bunch of Filipino martial artists that are beating each other up. The other part is a black ninja clan. And one of them is an Italian man, pure white. Okay, and this is part of a series of ninja movies that was made in the Philippines. And they all suck. I love them. So, a family moves in to a nice little house somewhere in Singapore, Philippines. I don't know where they shot all over Asia, okay? And apparently they're being cursed by a ninja with a ninja witch that swings her ninja sword and brings bad spirits to haunt the people inside the house.
I want to see this so bad.
It's available on YouTube.
Sold.
I'm pretty sure.
All right, YouTube. So,
and then you get nonstop ninja action where you know that when they put the mask on, that's not the same person that is fighting. And then they take the mask off all of a sudden, and oh, hi, Italian man with nice mustache. That's Diamond Ninja Force in a nutshell, basically. And it's not something for the kids to watch, but you would laugh at how sloppy the movie was made. Lots of usage of bright lights to make the person look like a ghost, you know, kind of like... Long black hair. This is prior to Ringu, prior to the Ju-on.
I didn't realize that if the Philippines is making such high-quality, low-quality films.
And if you want to watch a whole lot more about that type of ninja movies, there's a lot of them. Ninja Empire, Ninja the Protector,
Ninja Empire Dragon. Is the one that inspired the meme, right? I have to get the Ninja Empire back there. He's got the Garfield phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember that one, yes. Yeah. Ninja Empire. There's even Ninja Wars. You know how many... Not even the movies made with Shokusugi, apparently a ninja master,
I love
were any bit as good as the other ones. They were all terrible. And honorable mention, Ninja 3, The Domination.
The Possession
starring,
one.
Starring Lucinda Dickey of Electric Boogaloo. Another cringe cinema classic.
Oh, do you, Electric Boogaloo? Break in two.
I was sold on it when you stood up to explain it.
Exactly.
I had to. For those horrible Filipino ninja movies, I had to stand up. Diamond Ninja Force.
All right. Okay. Tromoville's honor students are transformed into rampaging freaks when toxic waste leaks into their water supply. Directed by Lloyd Kaufman and Richard Haynes, it's 1986.
Trauma.
Class of Nukem High.
I knew you was going to bring Troma into the mix.
I actually, two of my movies that I selected that I would like to. I would like to watch all of Troma's movies. Every Troma movie, every John Waters fix, maybe even a couple of...
Even Sergeant Kabuki Man?
Oh my gosh. Yes, even Sergeant Kabuki Man. So this particular movie, I feel, is like the epitome of Troma films. And if you're familiar with Troma films, they're super... Low brow, low budget. They're classic.
Super low brow, the lowest brow.
Absolutely. They definitely don't censor themselves whatsoever. They have no care for anything that is politically correct. They are terrible, terrifying, and somehow they're beautiful. So they have actually like this 70s kind of gross out like horror like aesthetic to it. There's special effects that I've never seen happen. For example, the main character Warren, when he gets poisoned by smoking a laced cigarette that has toxic waste in it.
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes.
Something really interesting happens to one of his body parts that I've never seen happen in any other movie before. It's pretty disgusting.
I had quite a few of those cigarettes myself.
The reason I love Troma so much, I wrote this down, is it borders on like the low-budget, low-brow shtick, and somehow it's also like art house horror at the same time. I don't know, there's something about it that's really, they do it in such a way that it feels perfect and feels complete. I love all the characters in this movie. It has like these villains called the Cretans who are just out of this world, like punk aesthetic from the 80s that you don't see anymore. You don't see people walking down the street that look like them. It's just like typical 80s, like quintessential, the people that, you know, the Satanic Panic was based on, just really terrifying looking creatures. I love all the dynamics with all like this high school setting. That's just really disgusting. I had some really awesome slides to show you for it that we couldn't show you, so we'll have to post those up because the pictures are pretty fantastic. But anyways, Class of Nukem High. Check
I think
it out.
Troma's a rite of passage for all people who are into cult cinema. They gave us the Toxic Avenger.
Toxic Avenger.
The world's first superhero from New Jersey.
Absolutely. Yes. The Surf Nazis Must Die, which is a great
Melvin.
One. Oh, yeah.
I like to call him Melvin. That's my friend, Melvin.
I want to see Melvin cosplay one of these days. That would be great.
So we need to get Lloyd Kaufman out here.
We want to get Lloyd Kaufman. I've been approaching
Toxic
him.
Toxic Avenger the musical.
Oh, my gosh. Or just like Romeo and Juliet. That's a great one.
Oh, love that. The popcorn out of the stomach.
Yes.
Yum.
Okay, so let me move forward. Isaac, let's talk about Hudson Hawk.
Okay.
Tell me all about it, Boo.
This is, I think, the most big budgeted film that we're talking about today.
Bruno.
Hudson Hawk is an action-adventure comedy from 1991 starring Bruce Willis as master cat burglar Hudson Hawk. On his first day out of prison, he's blackmailed into doing a series of heists of works of art by Leonardo da Vinci because there's crystals hidden in each piece that once they're recovered, if they're put into a machine that da Vinci invented, it converts lead into gold. Now, the plot sounds kind of like a normal adventure film, but it's not because it's like a live-action cartoon where every scene's played over the top. And I think this is why people hate on this movie, and I've loved it since day one. It's a 90s movie that kind of feels like an 80s movie. So here's an example of its clever absurdity. Whenever Hudson Hawk steals something, he knows exactly how long he needs to take before he gets caught, so he times his missions, but not with a watch. He times it by singing songs that he knows are the exact amount of time he needs before he gets caught. So he's like going around museums or art galleries singing while he's like unhooking the cameras and cracking safes. And it just adds a whimsy to it that's really cool.
It's a musical? It's a musical?
It's got singing in it, but it's certainly not a musical. And there's tons of villains in it, but the two main antagonists are a married couple played by the brilliant Richard E. Grant and Sandra Bernhardt.
Sandra!
I love Hudson
Hawk.
Yes,
Sandra!
Oh my gosh.
Love her.
Right there you go, on. Hudson Hawk.
Hudson Hawk.
I've never seen it. It has Bruce Willis in it?
Me neither. I've never
Bruce
seen it.
Bruce Willis?
He's the lead, but you also get people like James Coburn, Danny Aiello,
ow,
David Caruso, Frank Stallone. It's a weird cast. Annie McDowell.
When I saw the photos of it, I definitely thought it was an 80s flick.
It's
for some
by the
reason.
Director of Heathers,
yeah,
another classic cult film.
That one's excellent.
Nice.
Okay, Tony, tell us about Zombies Outlive the Dead.
Zombies Outlive the Dead. Okay, so Cameron Romero presents. Cameron Romero is George A. Romero's son.
Oh, wow.
And he's gotten into producing independent horror films. One of the first send-ups is Zombies Outlive the Dead, starring Tony Todd. The rest of the characters, the rest of the actors, I don't know them. I only know Tony Todd.
Tony Candyman Todd.
Yes, Candyman Todd. And it seemed like he was in it. He was in the movie, basically, just to get money. Okay? The movie doesn't make
Guy's
sense.
Guy's got to eat.
Tony
you
Todd.
Got zombies popping up all over the place. You know, his friend, he starts up, oh, my friend is sick. Leave him in jail. The zombie apocalypse happened. And then you cut to a scene after they get out of their little building. Okay? You cut to a scene where he goes back and visits his friend and talks to him while he's a zombie. Almost like, you know, maybe like Simon Pegg. You know, Shaun of the Dead kind of deal, but not like, no, this, no, it's not domesticated yet. But the whole movie does not make sense. They're doing the whole Walking Dead thing where, you know, oh, I've got to go scavenge out, you know, for food, see if there's survivors. You got basically the entire town as zombies. So it's one of those zombie movies. The entire town showed up. It's like, we'll be zombies for your movie.
I feel like if they were to make a movie here where everyone would want to be a zombie, who doesn't want to
yes,
do that?
I want to be a zombie in a horror, even if it's a horrible independent.
When did this movie come out? Remember? Remember when this movie came out? Is it an 80s movie, a 90s movie?
Would you say that again?
When did it come out?
When
did the movie come out?
Oh, Zombies?
No, this movie.
This one?
Yeah.
I'm talking about?
Yeah.
2 years ago.
What?
Oh.
Two years ago.
The man's already yes, celebrating it.
It's one of the many things that
new
we're going to talk
classics,
about tomorrow
right
at the same time over here at Friday Night Frights. We're going to have a reunion panel tomorrow. We're going to talk about zombies, okay? But this movie, this it's just one of the many ones that have released after zombies became, you know, the big hot number again, right? There is millions upon millions of independent horror movies, zombie movies that are out there, right? Some are good, but some are bad. And so Cameron Romero, God, look, his father, to George J. Romero, I'm sorry, dude, you gotta come down, you know, from wherever you is and talk to your son and say, that's not how I do a horror movie. That's not how I do a zombie movie, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, if you want to, I think it's available in, like, Redbox or on Shudder.
Okay, I'm gonna
Zombies Outlive the Dead.
I feel like Tony Todd should never go hungry. He should be able to do all movies, but hopefully they should be good.
Tony Todd's in a really good zombie movie called Shadow Dead Riot. It's a women in prison zombie film. I love that one.
You know what? I have not seen that, and I own it. It's still in its plastic.
Oh.
I bought it 5 years ago. Sorry.
Take it out of the plastic and watch it.
All right, I gotta check that one out.
So, Cannibal the Musical.
Oh! Yes!
Cannibal.
Yeah, we got a reaction.
So, it's a musical based on a true story of the only person convicted of cannibalism in North America, which is Alfred Packard. I don't know if that statement is entirely factual, but I got it off the Troma Entertainment website. I'm sure they're gonna stick to it. So this movie was made in 1995. It's an independent black comedy horror musical film. It's written, directed, and stars Trey Parker, of course, of South Park that everyone knows of, and it also stars Matt Stone. To say, in spite of being based on grim actual events of the Packer Mining Party, the movie is super freaking fun. It is... So many good musical numbers. There's a song that I love so much called Spadoinkle. I feel like if we were to start singing it right now, we would all sing along, right? Yeah. He knows it. You know it. There's things in it that are really great. There's Kung Fu Fighting French Fur Trapper. That's a win. It has a Cyclops. Who doesn't like Cyclopses? It has Japanese people pretending to be Native Americans. I mean, that's... You sold, right? There's fake mustaches and...
It's something for everybody.
Cannibalism.
Yeah.
I mean...
Cannibalism.
That. I feel like it's one of those movies that when people think about the franchise that Trey Parker has created, they don't really realize that exists. Everyone, you know, knows, you know, basketball... They know. What of other movies? Orgasmo. Ooh. Actually, there's a lot of cast members in Cannibal the Musical that are in Orgasmo, which is always nice to see.
Classic.
I always love when people do
that. The leader of the Indian tribe that you were talking about, of the Japanese Indians, he has a sushi bar, but
he
it's
does.
Like a hip-hop
what
sushi
was his
bar
name? Is his name Big,
in Orgasmo.
Big G? Was that the character's name? He talks like he's...
G Money? No, that's the host of the Nerdwatch. He's right there.
Oh, that's the other G. Darn it! I feel like that potluck would be amazing and super fun to do. So other movies we were talking about, can you guys think of any particular scene that you would want to recreate in a photo booth or
recreate?
Movies? Because that's what we want to do with the Cringe Cinema, is to recreate a scene where we can take photos and feel like we're part of the movie experience. It just kind of makes things tangible that way. I know it's always ambitious, but even if it doesn't come out like to the T, I always feel like it's really
great.
We're
doing that for Nothing But Trouble.
We did that for Nothing But Trouble. We were planning on doing it for the Pink Flamingos era. We wanted to do a trailer that was on fire. I wanted to do that, but it didn't.
Pink Flamingos Uncensored?
We did Pink Flamingos Uncensored.
Nice.
Because we're gross like that.
Because we have no class whatsoever. In fact, we even had some minors there, and that was kind of a big whoopsie.
She watched a Dirty Shave.
You know, ruined.
It's when a boy becomes a man, that kind of situation. But if there's anything, can you think of anything off the top of your head from the movies that you're showing? Maybe. Maybe we can have a feast with everything with green frosting. That would be exciting.
I'd like to make an invitation. If anybody here wants to come up to me, I can't speak for these two, but I'm sure they'll say the same thing and give me recommendations. I'm always wanting to learn more. I want to know as much as I can know because I'm fascinated by this subject, and I feel like one of the best ways to learn about these things is to make friends with people who like these movies, and they can share what they know with you. And that's why we're here tonight, to share the useless knowledge that we have with you.
Don't
and
even
we swear
really.
We're doing it for a good cause. We just want you to have fun.
Can I say that I really appreciate these two guys because they are fountains of information for me. I'm definitely not very good at articulating my thoughts and my feelings when it comes to movies that I think are fantastic. So I really appreciate them being a part of this because it's kind of what makes this kind of experience unique and fun is you realize that you're not the only weirdo out there who likes horrible, horrible things on cinema. That being said, if anyone's interested in joining us for these events in the future, you can call. I'll be at the Artist Alley. I have a booth there. You can let me know. I'll get your email so we can give you an invite. But otherwise, we don't really have a next event slated just yet, but it's in the works. You let them know where we can find you.
I'm on YouTube and Twitter under the name Isaac's Haunted Beard. You should follow it because it's the greatest thing you'll ever see in your life. I don't mean to oversell it.
And then Tony?
Yes?
Where can we find you in the world?
Find me. You can find me on the local show, KAKU 88.5 FM, The Voice of Maui. You can also find me on Instagram at TonyMidnight81. And yes, I'm looking forward to maybe combining, maybe combo Friday Night Frights. Maui Cringe Cinema.
So Tony has a panel tomorrow with Friday Night Frights reunion show.
Reunion panel, yeah.
Yeah, and then on Tuesdays you can find me at Nerdwatch. Every once in a while I go to the Nerdwatch podcast so you can grace them with my presence, I suppose. But otherwise, thanks for having us, Maui Comic Con.
Thank you, Maui Comic Con.
Thank you,
Frenzy.
Thank you, Alika, and thank you, Nerdwatch, for hosting us.
Comic-Conners.
Yes, sir. Now I can eat my spam musubi.